And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This one. Whew. I mean, goes like Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I'm talking about all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to what we now call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. That's just you folks in radio land. And then, oh, by the way, there's a bunch of y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web, live streaming the show every single day. And we can see the numbers. We know you're there. Live streaming it in places like Rumble and X and YouTube and Facebook and our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then all you podcasters who catch it after the fact, I say all this every day to say, we know you're out there. We can see where you are. We thank you, because there's no other reason for us to get on this mic every day except for y'all. You're the reason why we do what we do, and we appreciate you. I'm back in studio right now with Brian Dawson, the grand poobah head guru over at 1819 News, which, by the way, is one of the trusted sources that I use all the time on the show. And I have for the whole 4 years you've been on. But I gotta do a thing here. So we're jumping to the dipper number two, but it's really in the same theme of what we're doing.
Sure.
But periodically, you know, this show will talk about D.C., this show will talk about international affairs, but then we got to talk about what's happening around here. And I call that literally looking around our own backyard, recognizing that what happens here sometimes matters more than what happens somewhere else. And that's what I call cooking up a batch of home fries. Sizzling in the pan. Smell them. Here's an example of a home fry, brother. I got two stories, both of them within 24 hours of each other, same topic, and I've got the story of Jabari Peoples. All right, for those who don't know, Jabari Peoples was a young man, a black man in Birmingham, who resisted arrest, had a firearm apparently, and was shot fatally by a police officer, and it turned into a whole thing, and they just released the body cam footage the other day. Well, they actually released it for the family to see. They haven't released it to the public that I'm aware of. Two stories. One on 1819 is State Representative Wandling Van saying, basically, you know what? You can't win at a traffic stop. And she wasn't really taking the side of police, but she was taking more of a, we got to start teaching these young kids they can't resist the cops. On the other side, AL.com, their top headline on the story, same day, was Jabari Peoples was actually running for his life as the police fatally shot him, says the family, even after they saw the body cam video that showed the other. Because that's what AL.com has been reporting all along, is that this was a fatal shooting. Your thoughts on the dichotomy of these two headlines?
It's infuriating. You know, and think of the race hustling that's been going on for so long, and you even go back to the Ahmaud Arbery thing that was a tragedy that happened over in Georgia. I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
It was horrible, but the deception, and again, being able to, we're talking about deciphering news sources, right? And so we want to give you kind of tricks of the trade so that you know what to look for. The moment they put up a 1986 glamour shots of a guy in a tuxedo that was the one that was shot by the cops, that guy was probably guilty, right? Because the more modern pictures, he might not look so nice, right? So that's just one trick of the trade. But they said that Ahmaud Arbery was out jogging through a neighborhood and was ran down and murdered. Well, he wasn't jogging. He was stealing stuff from houses, like stealing tools and stuff to sell, yeah, or whatever, got caught and took off running. But for 2 weeks, he was jogging. And I had friends that went out and jogged, and they were jogging for Ahmaud. Okay, and so it's this idea of how, but we've been desensitized to it. Now we're starting to see through it, and I'm glad that we can at least see through this one. And again, the jury was out. We didn't know. Nobody knew. Aaliyah was reviewing it, right? And you had all these people that are like, we're going to burn down Homewood and Vestavia if you don't show us this video. Rah! Well, we already know when they show you the video, you're going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
You're not about justice. You want to burn down Vestavia, and you want to burn down Homewood, and you want to burn downtown. Like, that's what you want to do. And it doesn't matter what that video shows. You're still going to want to do that because you feel that there was some injustice done. Turns out, actually, and again, I haven't seen the video. My understanding of what the video shows is that he ran for his life back to a vehicle and grabbed a gun.
And then resisted arrest.
Yeah.
And then got shot.
And as I always say, back in my day when I was doing drugs and running from cops, okay, you knew you were going to get beat up when you got, if you ran, you were going to get the tax, which was getting beat up. So that was the risk you took. But you certainly never resisted because you knew that it would go wrong. It was just understood, but that's gone. Okay. Those days are gone. Now you can run and get a gun and you know, and you're still running for your life.
According to AL.com.
According to AL.com. Commie, AL.commie, if I call them.
I hold in my callous former paratrooper hands. Yeah, that's the thing. That's what's so frustrating is I'm looking at the same story, two different sources in the same state, and they're not in the same wavelength. They're not in the same plane. I think I find over and over again that AL.com seeks to inflame with clickbait that centers left or far left. The Ahmaud Arbery, by the way, one of the things that really, if I'm thinking of the right case, that was Atlanta, yeah?
It was over in Georgia, yeah.
Over in Georgia. One of the things I remember about Ahmaud Arbery's story is at the end of it all, at the press conference where you're thinking what you're about to hear is more of this kind of crap that we see on AL.com,
yeah.
That the father of Ahmaud Arbery says, what I want now is for everyone to calm down and we're not going to go and riot. Yeah. We're not going to do that stuff. And you're not going to use my son's name like that.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, he just defused it.
Yeah.
And pretty much it did. There was still angst, but the reality is you've got people right now after seeing the video in this story from AL.com that are still determined to inflame the situation.
Of course they are.
Even though they've already got the proof in their hands.
And they want to, and again, it's that objective truth, objective good thing that I talked about when I came on. This is what they're doing is objectively bad. They're trying to take something that is bad and they're trying to give it attention so that it leads to negative actions that would be objectively bad. Another headline comparison that we pointed out one time that was brought to us, there was a Dothan outlet, another, and again, insert whatever mainstream media outlet, you know, WSFA in Montgomery, AL.com, it's all the same, okay? So any of these mainstream media outlets, but one of them, the headline read, Dothan man sleeps with underage girl. 1819 News, illegal alien rapes 12-year-old stepdaughter.
Oh.
A little bit different in the headlines, isn't it?
Oh. Was that the Dothan Eagle?
What was
that?
It was either the Dothan Eagle or it was the W blah, 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 blah that's in Dothan, WDHN or whatever.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
That's just gross.
Yeah. But I mean, that's
deliberate.
Correct.
There's no way around that. That's deliberate. There's no way they slipped that headline through and, oh my gosh, we should. That was deliberate.
It's all narrative formation. And think when people are getting hit from every different direction, if there's not an 1819 to say, actually, illegal alien raped 12-year-old stepdaughter, that's what happened.
Speaking of which, do we know in the Bibb County tragedy, do we know yet whether that guy was illegal? The guy, the ringleader who was apparently part of a Sicario gang or something that was...
Yeah, there was a Sereno. So Sereno's, that's... there was a connection. Don't know if he was illegal. Sereno's, for the most part, again, in my area of expertise, is gangs from Colorado, which is Sereno's in California, are typically what's called Chicano. And Chicano means that you're a Mexican-American, you're not. And so the Sereno's were typically Chicano. We called the Paisas were the ones that were the over-the-border people. Paisano means Paisa. Anyway.
So we don't know what that guy's status is, though, right now.
No, it hasn't been said one way or the other that he's illegal or legal. So.
All right. Next story. During the break, it wasn't on air. I don't believe it was. We were talking about how you brought it up, that comedians these days are a lot of times a source of cultural impact. Sometimes
and
even
truth.
News and sometimes providing clarity where people don't want the clarity because they'll speak truth.
Yep.
We were talking about some of the funniest things we've seen. Like to me, one of the landmark moments was Ricky Gervais at the Emmy Awards.
Yeah.
Was it Academy Awards or
Grammy?
Emmy Awards?
I think it was Grammys.
Grammys. It was that was just so spot on perfect.
Yeah.
You were talking about Shane Gillis at the ESPYs.
Shane Gillis at the ESPYs or even just Tim Dillon on a normal day, right? This is a guy, if you can, again, I don't highly recommend, he's got a lot of vulgarity and talks about disgusting stuff, but I usually catch his clips, and the clips are usually the clips of where he's going on truth bombs in a very humorous way, but he's pointing out the thing that's the elephant in the room that nobody else wants to talk about, and he's got facts to back it up.
Dave Chappelle on the transgender movement has been hilarious.
He freed... He saved stand-up comedy. I almost wanted to write an op-ed that was going to be called Let My People Joke, okay? And it's Dave Chappelle is basically the comedic Moses who freed comedians again because political correctness, PC had so handcuffed stand-up comedians for so many years that stand-up comedy was just about dead. and you got one guy that you couldn't cancel if you wanted to, the GOAT, the greatest of all time, greatest stand-up comedian of all time, in my opinion, Dave Chappelle, knowing he can't be canceled, goes on his Netflix special and just goes hard in the paint on the trannies, brings them to the mat, and then from that moment forward, stand-up comedy's back, baby, and guess what? They're all trending right-wing now. Shane Gillis and Theo Vaughn and all these other guys, they're moving to the right, which means we're winning the culture war.
Well, here's a here's an interesting dynamic. You guys have an article right now.
Yeah.
Michael Rapaport, which, by the way, is not a conservative. He's not. No. But he is absolutely 100% a defender of Israel.
Yeah.
I think he's Jewish himself, isn't he?
Yes.
So Michael Rapaport, actor and comedian, was supposed to play at the Stardome Comedy Club in Hoover. And Hoover, I mean, the Stardome put out a message saying they had canceled the show, and they admit they canceled it because of his support for Israel. Am I right? You guys reported that.
I think it was – so it wasn't his support for Israel. So they canceled it because there was threats from anti-Israel people, right? And so there was a drummed up
– oh, I see it.
Yeah,
it wasn't about silencing anyone. It was about avoiding a potentially volatile situation. So
yeah,
they got
so
scared.
I think Bruce Ayers is the guy's name or whatever that owns the club that we reported on. I think he was probably, if I had to guess, he was probably put in a bad situation where the manager probably called and is like, hey, Michael's stuff is getting canceled all over the place because of these threats coming from these crazy, like, you know, pro-Palestinian people that are burning, like, that group, okay, is calling and trying to shut down Michael Rapaport things all over the country.
It's where you hire security and do the show.
And do the show anyway. The show must go on is what they say, right, Phil?
Absolutely, by golly. Yeah. We got other stories. We're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back, and we're just going to kick off a couple things. I do want your opinion on – I'm going to go north of the border since you guys are looking at Tennessee anyway.
Yes, sir.
Going north of the border and talk about Marsha Blackburn. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, hey, don't forget, coming up here in the next few minutes after the next break, we jump on into the Friday afternoon special with JP on sports. In the meantime, I'm wrapping up a batch of home fries. Cook me up some home fries there, brother. Yeah. Mmm, smell them. All right, we got a Tennessee audience, too. And I got to address this news that broke just in the last couple of days. I pulled this one off of Fox. I hope you don't mind. I pulled it off Fox. U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn, now running for governor of Tennessee. Let me get your thoughts. Now, first of all, I got two pieces of story. One is her running, and the other is who's running in her place to take her seat as a U.S. senator, because one of my favorites is, or thinking about it. But your thoughts right now on Marsha Blackburn now looking at going to the governorship, just like Tommy Tuberville.
Yeah, I think Ron DeSantis kind of set the standard for what a good governor can do for an important state.
No doubt.
And when you see that kind of leadership and what that can do, you look at Coach Tuberville, he's, you know, and everyone when he was talking about running was like, well, you know, he's part of the most exclusive club in the world. He's one of 100. I said, he's a Division I football coach. He's one of one, okay? And he wants to be the executive. He doesn't want to be one of 100. That probably drives him nuts that there's 99 other people that get their say in what's going on. He wants to come back and be the executive. And so, yeah, it's cool to be in the Senate or whatever, but if you're going to spend your last remaining years doing something that's going to make a radical difference, governor's how you do it. It's not United States Senator. And so Coach Tuberville saw that. It sounds like Marsha Blackburn understands that, and good for her. Trump allies coming back to be governors and doing the type of work that Ron DeSantis did in Florida, doing it in their respective states. I think that's the reason for 1819 News, right? Is it statewide, state focused, and that's why we want to change our state. And if you get 50 states to change, your country's changed. If you get 37 states to change, you're
and something you just said too. I think what we're watching right now. I think that Trump's fight to be the chief executive has straightened a lot of spines.
Yep.
I think there are people like Tuberville, there are people, and I don't know that he would not have done it otherwise. I mean, he was already getting there even before Trump had won the election. But I think Nancy Mace is looking at running for governor of South Carolina. We got Marsha Blackburn running here. We got, you know, Tuberville here. And I'm just looking at this thinking, I really believe that we're in an era right now where people have seen and Ron DeSantis, what he's done, like you mentioned, I've said multiple times, watching him during COVID was like a lessons learned every day of how you can run a state. Watching him battle Disney, my gosh. But yeah, I look at this and think, this is people realizing the chief executive does matter.
Yeah.
I think Alabama's been missing that for a while.
You
I mean, like,
say.
Holy cow. Like I think one day we're going to find out we have the other Biden situation going on right here in Alabama.
We absolutely do. I wouldn't be surprised if there's an auto pin in Alabama.
It's disappointing. All right, so Marsha Blackburn, a very conservative, Trump-supporting U.S. Senator, Tommy Tuberville also. And you see what the race is happening here. We got the race filling up, you know, now in Alabama to replace Tuberville in the U.S. Senate. And then we're going to have a U.S. Senator seat in Tennessee. Right now, Representative Andy Ogles and Tim Burchett. Tim Burchett, he's one of my favorites.
Him. Yes.
That guy's like Mr. Soundbite.
Yeah.
But they're saying right now, according to Fox, that Tennessee Republican Tim Burchett has openly expressed his interest in the seat, and so did Ogles. Ogles said absolutely when he was asked to consider it. Burchett said that situation's a long ways off, but he did confirm he was looking at it.
Yeah.
That tells me a lot right there. I mean, I think Tim Burchett's awesome.
Yeah, I love Tim Burchett. Like, as soon as you were talking about people in Tennessee that could potentially run, he's the guy. He's like, is that Kennedy from Louisiana?
He's like John Kennedy from Louisiana.
Correct, yeah. Yeah. He's very similar.
Which I don't know if John Kennedy has a book of quotes that he refers to before he does every interview.
Yeah.
Or if he just makes them up on the fly.
I think he just comes up with the craziest thing you could possibly say and then recites it and then lets it rip when there's a camera. But it'd be interesting, too, like some of the former governors of Tennessee, if any of them would be interested in a U.S. Senate seat. Like, what is that something that you like a Bob Riley would have ran for Senate? Or, like, is that something that you could see with, like, a Bill Haslam or something? Would he potentially run for Senate? Or I think is Bill Lee the governor
Bill
there
Lee's
right
the governor now?
Now,
yeah, you know? Leaving.
And so maybe he runs for it. Who knows?
I think it's going to be a full slate, but I think we got a good slate. Speaking of good slates, everybody expects here in Alabama that U.S. Representative Barry Moore is going to jump into the U.S. Senate race.
I feel like August 15th, there's a big announcement coming.
I think there's something happening on August 15th. In fact, I've also heard that there's another announcement from Jerry Carl from Mobile.
Now, did you see, there was a story trending somewhere. I don't remember. It wasn't on 1819. I feel like I saw that Heather Moore, they did a poll, and Heather Moore was beating Jerry Carl in that race. Now, again,
what, really?
I saw that in passing. I didn't even see where it was from. But isn't that interesting? Wouldn't that be crazy?
For those who don't know, that's Barry Moore's wife.
Yes. And where they're always together. She's
awesome.
She's sharp.
Yeah.
She's, you know, she could do the right side radio thing, solid conservative and just plain right. Like, that's Heather Moore. Okay. She's awesome, man. And she's something. And those two together, they're always together. And it would be interesting because that was my thing is like, okay, if Barry gets into the Senate race, you're going to lose him in District 1.
Yep.
And I I'm a Barry guy, right? Like when, and to lose him as a congressman, it's like, but then all of a sudden if Heather runs in there, it's like, well,
has there ever been Heather? A husband and wife team?
I don't know if she's even really thinking about it, but it's funny to talk about on the radio.
Jerry Carl is quaking in his boots right now.
Yeah, I bet he is. I mean, and Heather's a force.
Be.
Yeah. And so love Barry. Barry and Steve Marshall. I don't know what to do there because they're both like my favorite people. And, you know, Tuberville, Marshall, and Barry Moore are like my favorite people in the government in our state that are at that upper echelon. Of course, there's people like Ernie and Andrew and stuff like that. But at that higher level, those are the best. And unfortunately, we're going to lose one.
Well, that's about enough of home fries. I'm out of time on that anyway. We're going to jump into JP on sports in just a moment and catch all the latest. You know, don't forget, when JP does sports, by the way, we break it down into two rounds. He's got the three and out followed by the two-minute warnings. So we'll jump into all of it after the break. Set aside some of the usual news and see what's going on in the world of sports with a conservative twist added to it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.